Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 8th verse. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all godliness, righteousness, and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, and do not participate in fruitless deeds of darkness. Instead, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention the things that are done by people in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes things visible. Therefore it is said, awake, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, when the devil came on the scene in the Garden of Eden, darkness came with him. Sin entered the world. The way to heaven became clouded. But then came the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Well, Paul tells us in the Ephesians that we are not to let the devil's darkness rule any longer. Rather, he says that Christ's rule or Christ's light shine brightly. First of all, it leads his disciples into light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The light, Jesus Christ. The darkness was the devil. He brought into the world doubting God, opposing God. And those who would follow him would find eternal, not life, but eternal damnation, eternal death in hell. But the Lord says, the light has come. And that light is Jesus Christ. He himself said, I am the light of the world. I show you what God wants you to do. I show you what I have done for you. I show you the true way to heaven. All of this came about when Jesus entered the world as a baby, as we celebrate on Christmas. And he brought all of this about through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, and through his ascension, and the fact that he now lives on high. He says, I am the light of the world. Now live just that way, because that is the way to honor my Father. Remember, Father is God, as is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Father is feared by many people because he says, do this or else. But the Father also is the one who told his Son, go to the world to save mankind. It was his plan. And therefore the Lord says, who is the light of the world, as you live in the light, honor my Father. Don't doubt him. Don't criticize him. Don't say your ways are wrong. Honor him. Obey him. Follow his commands. The evidence of that light, for the fruit of the light consists in all godliness, righteousness, and truth. Godliness. Moral excellence. When I say those two words and you look at the world around you today, and we would have to admit with the world, failure. Moral excellence, gone. Morality, no longer even talked about. It was really interesting when I was a youngster. If a young lady got pregnant and was not married, she was hidden. No one was to know about it. It was morally reprehensible. Today, who cares? when the gay people started emphasizing themselves once in a while. At my time, they hid. They were in a closet. Now, they demand equality. They demand acceptance. Today, and I call it new, maybe it's not so new anymore, but transgenderism, where you change your sex. What is that telling God? You goofed. You should have made me the opposite of what you made me. That's wrong. God says, I made you as I should, and you should be that. But today, all of those things are now morally accepted, although they are morally wrong. Godliness. We do what God tells us to do. We try to live our lives in a way that honors Him. Righteousness, what is right in God's eyes. And you notice, I didn't say what is right in man's eyes. I said what is right in God's eyes. And what guide do we have as far as doing right in God's eyes? That's the Ten Commandments. Most of us know what those say. And it's kind of interesting, so almost all countries of all time, when they have their law or their series of laws set up, they're patterned after the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments are true. If you follow them, you will prosper. So the Lord says to us, righteousness, do what is right in God's eyes. You may not always be popular because of it, but do it anyway. And then truth, complete faithfulness to God. First thing I have to say about that is, personally, I failed. Do I have complete faithfulness in God? Not all the time. I should. But my sinful flesh at times comes up and says, ah, you can do this. Even though God doesn't like it, you can do it anyway. God won't mind. Well, He does mind. He says, you are my children. You're the children of light. Be faithful to me. Follow my commands. And He says, if you do that, you will prosper. And those who do follow the commandments, as a rule, are better off than those that give in to the sinful flesh, and sooner or later, they pay the price. Learn also from God's word. He says, try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. What is pleasing to the Lord? God, our Savior, will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's God's goal. That's why He sent His Son into the world, to give every single person a chance to go to heaven. And He said, the way is easy. My Son has taken care of all the details. All you have to do is believe that my Son came to the earth, lived a perfect life for you, died on the cross to pay for your sins, overcame death and the devil with His resurrection, ascended on high, now living with me again in glory, ruling the world in your behalf. Just believe it, He says. And the doors of heaven will be open to you. And when you believe that, when you are truly a child of God, then you're honoring God for His goodness. Because it was His goodness that caused Him to give us this sure way to heaven. And then He says, don't fall asleep. Therefore it is said, awake, sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Take your faith seriously all the time. Don't think that sometimes, oh, I can let it slide for a while. I don't have to worry about it. I can give in to the things of this world and have fun, which often becomes not fun but tragedy. He says, don't let your faith weaken. And what's the number one way to make sure that happens? Pray the Holy Spirit continues to live in you. Pray the Holy Spirit strengthens that faith that He has started in you. Pray that the Holy Spirit keeps you in that faith. So when you want to stand to honor the Lord, he said, I'll give you the ability to do it because I will be with you. So don't get complacent. Don't think, I got it made. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Be concerned. Always be faithful to the Lord, because Christ's light leads you into his light, a light which opens the gates of heaven for you. There's also the other side of the coin. Christ's light shines brightly to expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. Instead, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention the things that are done by people in secret. I summarize it in a very short sentence. Call a sin a sin. Don't try to mask it and say, it's not so bad. I had a member in Urbana, Illinois, who hit the nail right on the head. She said, I don't care what kind of a sin it is, a big one or a little one. A sin is a sin. And you need to expose it. So when you see somebody doing something wrong, what do? No, you don't go and tell the pastor. Maybe later. But first and foremost, you go and talk to that person. And tell that person, you're doing things wrong. God will not be happy with you. You need to repent. You need to stop. Or, and I know it never happens anymore. Remember the old gossip mill? Never hear that, right? I bet all of you sitting here have heard gossip one time or another. What happens if you hear something about another member of the church that sounds really bad? What do you do? Again, I tell you, don't go to the pastor. Talk to that person. Why? Well, first of all, the gossip probably is going to be wrong, and that person needs to know what's being said. And if that gossip is correct, then that person needs to be talked to. Call a sin a sin. And then give them the good news. If you repent, what's going to happen to that sin? You are forgiven. And that's probably one of the greatest joys that I have as a pastor. When I can tell someone, yes, your sins are forgiven. I use this young lady as a reference quite often. She's with her Lord now. She died of cancer at a young age. Her sister... husband belonged to my church. Her sister came to me one day and said, my sister has cancer and it doesn't look good. Could you talk to her? And so I went over to her house with an elder and we talked. And as we talked, I saw a very frustrated, scared young lady. She said, I know I haven't done things well in my life, but I've been told by everybody I have sinned so much that I just will not be forgiven, period. So I told her about Jesus. And I told her about Jesus' death on the cross, that it paid for the sins of all people of all times. And I said, if you confess your sins and you believe in Jesus, your sins will be forgiven. I asked her, do you believe? She said, yes. And I said, you're forgiven. And she burst out into tears. She never thought she would ever hear that from anybody. 2 weeks later, I baptized her. 2 weeks after that, she died. A child of God. A sinner forgiven. Because she acknowledged the fact that she was a sinner. And that's our goal, too. When we talk to sinners, we lead them to acknowledge they've done wrong, to change, and then to say, but for your past, you're forgiven. He also says, do not participate in fruitless deeds of darkness. When young people go away to college, Maybe it's the first time they've been away from home. It's the first time they are, quote, free from the domination of their parents. And now what are they going to do? Oh, we're free to do what we want to do. My youngest son, Kyle, and I know you aren't going to want to hear this, he went to The Ohio State University. And in the first year, he roomed in the towers. That's where they all moved. After the next year, he had an apartment with two other young men, rich young men. They very seldom went to class. They lived the high life, parties almost every day. And by the end of the year, they went home. They didn't get a thing out of the college, and it wasn't the college's fault. It was because they wanted to do what the world wanted them to do. They were free, and so they did what they felt like was important. And it didn't help them one bit. Paul says to Ephesians and to us, don't get caught up in the sins of the flesh. Say no. Sometimes people won't be happy when you do that, but God will be. And that's what really counts. And finally, he says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes things visible. When will everything be exposed? Judgment day. Then and finally, then you will have to stand before the Father, and he will then look at your lives, and if you didn't believe, he's going to say goodbye. You lived in sin. You didn't care. You thought that was the way to go. You refused to listen to me. And now all your wickedness is obvious, and that wickedness leads you to eternal damnation. So some of these people today might think they're getting away with it now. And they might be. But it won't last forever. Eventually, they have to appear before the judgment seat of God, and so do you. But that's the other side of the coin, the good side. When God sees you, and he looks at your past, the fact that you were a child of God, that you believed that Jesus was your Savior, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the home that I have prepared for you. And all of that is because Christ's light shined brightly in your lives. So don't get caught up in the darkness of the world. Let Christ's light shine brightly in your lives. Then you will be on the path that leads to eternal glory. Amen.